Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art Beats and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now, there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/Vox. That's klaviyo.com/Vox.
The cut. Hi, I'm about to go get my hair cut.
Last month, I downloaded a dating app for the first time in a few years.
While I'm here, I'm just gonna scroll through my Bumble.
But I didn't do it looking for love. I'm already in a relationship right now.
Okay, so first person, Ashley, 23. She's an associate at Ernst & Young.
I'm using the app Bumble, not the part where you swipe for love or hookups or whatever. I signed up for Bumble BFF because I need some damn friends. Last year, I graduated from college, right at the height of lockdown. All of my close friends and I moved to different cities. And ever since then, as you can imagine, it's been weird. I mean, I already had this idea that making and keeping friends as an adult is difficult. But doing that during a pandemic, it's felt damn near impossible. I think of it like this. A year and a half ago, I fell asleep at a party in college, surrounded by friends with a sense of certainty of how life would be once I entered the real world. And then the world completely changed. And after working from home and living in a new city in a tiny social bubble of just my partner and a few select family members, I'm starting to wake up, feeling lonelier than ever, wondering, where did all my friends go? I know this is a place a lot of people are finding themselves in right now.
Yeah, the Seattle freeze, as it was presented to me, is essentially this phenomenon where Seattleites and locals are just not super friendly, flaky, like more unwilling to build friendships.
Catherine Berry is a 25-year-old vlogger, and like me, she's found herself living in a new city, friendless. She moved to Seattle in September, which is not a place known for welcoming newcomers with open arms.
I was just worried about like finding community there because I was living alone. I wasn't going to have friends I was meeting through work. I didn't have any sort of like school or program that I was in that was going to supply just, you know, sort of those friendships of convenience.
Catherine's been documenting her move in a vlog series she calls Oversharing in Seattle.
Here she is. My first biggie girl apartment, baby.
I found these videos so comforting. Like when she explains how she has some warm leads through mutual friends in her new city.
There are some people who I just want to get them down the chute into the friendship bin.
I can hear in her voice the same tone I've taken when ranting to my boyfriend about my own lonely predicament.
And right now they're like not over here, and I'm like, it'd be great to have you over here because I love friendship.
I can hear hope and a little desperation.
So emotional tonight.
A lot of what I'm kind of trying to overcome right now is the fear of coming across desperate. Because I even find myself being judgmental of the new friends I've met if I start to get a read on them that like they're kind of lonely and they don't really have many friends, and like I'm one of their only sources of connection.
Yeah.
It does put a weird like feeling on you of like, why don't they have more friends? Are they not like a cool, fun person to hang around? Like maybe. And it's just such a weird, like I can't really explain like how I've been conditioned this way or like why those thoughts come up for me, but they do.
I totally have that insecurity, like when I'm first meeting somebody, like, are they going to know that they're the only person that I can hit up to go do stuff? Like, and does that seem weird? Does that make them feel weird? These are the ruminations of a friendless person. You're afraid that when you inevitably encounter new people, your loneliness is carried like a stink on each proposition to hang out. And they'll always remember it, even when it wears off. And I mean, can you blame us for having that insecurity? A lot of us are feeling really raw right now when it comes to making and keeping friends. And that's because the pandemic and lockdown forced a bunch of our friendships through these kind of stress tests that they didn't survive. Friendships that we thought were solid didn't hold up when the pandemic changed the ways we interacted with each other. Catherine, for example, watched one friendship slowly topple downhill.
We met through a mutual friend.
They were casual friends, not absolute besties, but they'd hang out sometimes.
Those types of relationships, I feel like, are easier to keep going when you're in person and you can just like go to dinner or you go to a movie and there are other things entertain you. But when you step digitally, it's like, okay, now you're just on FaceTime for an hour. Like you actually just have to talk about, you know, what you have in common and the things that you both care about.
Which wasn't too weird at the start, but then something started happening.
When the pandemic hit, I sort of entered into this political radicalization and shift in the way that I imagined my relationship with my work.
I watched this change happen, actually. Catherine's a tech worker, and a lot of her old content centered around vlogging her work week. Mid-pandemic, though, she joined this wave of online creators that started talking more about socialist ideas, which her friend wasn't into.
Like, we would still talk, but I just found, like, us conflicting a lot, specifically politically, because my political identity had transformed so much. And I think that really alienated him because he just felt like he had to basically like walk on eggshells in order to maintain the relationship, really.
I also talked to Dr. Miriam Kermeyer about this.
The emotional distance for many people is what's actually most detrimental.
She's a therapist and a clinical psychologist who studies adult friendships. Basically, she says what happened to Catherine was actually a really common trend that she's been seeing in her clients.
That is where I'm hearing a lot of heartache and conflict. So friends who don't see eye to eye with respect to what's happening or how best to handle things right now, feeling as though a friend isn't showing up for us in the way that we'd expect or isn't able to relate to what it is we're going through, feeling uncomfortable opening up in that way, feeling judged, judging our friends.
When all of our friendships went static in those early days of the pandemic, they were kind of put through the ringer. They needed to hold up against regular adult life obstacles, but also against how we were each handling this major societal shift. And so a friendship that used to be able to survive on surface level interactions was at a real risk of falling apart when it went digital. In Catherine's case, that's exactly what happened.
I sort of figured out how to like set the boundary of like, hey, like, I don't really think I can support this relationship. And I don't think it's fair to you to say we're friends if I'm not going to actually put the work in. So I'd like to take a step back from this, basically. And I wouldn't say it ended amicably, but I think it was inevitable. Like at some point we would have had to come to terms with like our incompatibility as friends. That really needed to happen. And I don't think would have happened unless the pandemic hit.
While we come to terms with how our friendships have changed, a lot of us have found ourselves needing some fresh connections. After the break, I shop for a new friend.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Jury selection continues this week in a Manhattan courtroom where former President Donald Trump is on trial for falsifying business records. Prospective jurors were asked 42 questions aimed at determining whether they can be fair and impartial, such as, can you be fair and impartial? Have you ever been a Boogaloo boy or in Antifa? And what podcasts do you listen to? Trump's required to be present in the courtroom for this trial that could last until June. And he's been talking to reporters before he goes into the courtroom.
I should be right now in Pennsylvania, in Florida, in many other states, North Carolina, Georgia, campaigning. This is all coming from the Biden White House because the guy can't put two sentences together. He can't campaign. They're using this in order to try and win an election.
Donald J. Trump in court this week on Today Explained, every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
My college friends keep texting me to organize yet another FaceTime session. And I've been kind of dodging it. Throughout the entire pandemic, I've really struggled with sitting in front of another screen just to keep a flame of connection alive. And I know that what I'm feeling is fatigue. Here's Dr. Kirmayer again.
As chaotic and stressful as the world is right now, there can also be a certain level of monotony that characterizes our relationships right now, that we're not having those new, exciting experiences. There isn't happenstance. There isn't uncertainty, the kind that we like and crave, not the kind that makes us feel unsafe and anxious. And that's hard because it feels like we're always talking about the same things. It feels like we're kind of on autopilot when it comes to connecting with our friends.
And so, in search of a new friend and ultimately some freaking spontaneity in my life, I turned to the apps, which has been interesting.
Pal, pal. Okay, we'll look for a friend.
My first impression was that every single person on Bumble BFF between the ages of 21 and 25's ideal friend date is thrifting, hiking, and yoga. Full disclosure, all three of those were on my profile too. We were all just regurgitating the most neutral, relatable interests of the hip, mentally stable friend we all think we want. Some people, though, I noticed, kept it $150. Like this one girl's bio.
Just a depressed 21-year-old gal looking for some really cool people to hang out with. Also, if I don't respond on here, it's because I have severe ADHD and forget literally everything. She is putting everything out there for you to just be aware of. She is honest. She is vulnerable.
This girl showed me why I find these apps so weird. Because when you craft a profile saying that you're lonely and looking for love, there's nothing devastatingly embarrassing about that. At least, not anymore. But when you do the same thing, looking for friends, for some reason, it becomes a totally different, way more raw conversation.
And maybe that is functionally why Bumble BFF scares me, because it's like, you're both in that position. And it's the awareness of it. Because most people, it's still too taboo to be like, hey, I have no fucking friends. Want to hang out? Like, it's almost like you're on this little island together, just like clutching onto each other for dear life, which is like not really fertile ground for a friendship.
Maybe. Although, even if you find someone on an app whose profile contains absolutely nothing of interest to you, there is one definitive thing that you two have in common. You're both stranded in a sea of strangers.
If you were to approach somebody in public and say, hey, you know, do you want to be friends, right? The same way we do when we're in kindergarten. People understandably have a lot of resistance to doing that. But when we're on these apps, we can feel with some sense of certainty that this person at least might be open to connecting with us or with somebody. And so it's a great starting point.
After using the app for a month, the number of people I've matched with is definitely in the hundreds. But surprise, surprise.
I woke up this morning feeling a little lonely.
Sifting through a sea of other lonely people wasn't the solution I thought it would be.
I came onto this app to scroll through some profiles, swiping left on most people.
And I only really started to get that when one morning I was scrolling on the app and I came across this one girl's profile.
I actually found somebody that is freakishly similar to me.
According to her profile, she was also a 22-year-old Arab girl whose all-time favorite artists were Shakira and Nancy Ajram. She had a gaming obsession and also some mommy issues.
One of the three questions that she answers is, how would your mother describe you? And she says, a disappointment. And I'm just like, yeah, like that's exactly where I'm at with my relationship with my mom.
On paper, this girl and I are kind of the same person. But
the conversation dried up immediately, and I think I'm realizing that this is actually really emotionally exhausting.
I talked to Dr. Kermeyer about my progress on the app. There are times where I'm using it and I feel like the Red Queen, like kind of like off of their heads. Like I'm just kind of, you know, I play a story in my head of like how each one could be like a wonderfully, you know, fleshed out, nuanced relationship that lasts for years. And then I just like end it by swiping left.
And here's a question though. Do you think that has more to do with whoever is being shown to you on the app that day? Or do you think that has more to do with the headspace that you're in?
Those times where I'm like being a harsher judge of people and not being able to connect with people have been the times where I'm like, where I just wake up and I'm, you know, feeling particularly lonely. So I go on this app just so that I can fulfill some kind of like desire to be like, okay, well, I'm doing something to get me out of this funk.
There is, to a large extent, this gamification of relationship making. But it is important that we recognize when we are using them intentionally and when we're being passive users. Am I in the right place to connect? Am I in a space where I'm willing to accept that this is awkward and vulnerable and uncertain? And if not, then it doesn't have to be right now, right? We don't always have to be in that place where we are working to make new connections. It should really feel right in the moment.
So basically, I just needed to let go of my judgment of myself. Feeling a little awkward and desperate is pretty much the starter dough of any friendship I was hoping to form. There's one girl I matched with through the app named Annabelle. We started by exchanging a few voice messages.
I broke up with my boyfriend of a year of dating in July. I feel like in that relationship, it was very like calm. Like we didn't do much. We just hung out with each other.
And I recognized that Annabelle was in the same vulnerable place that I was. So only a couple of voice messages later.
If you're free sometime next week, I really want to set up a time to do something.
We decided to hit up a yoga class.
Would you be free on Tuesday of next week?
It moved really quickly. We met up later that week.
Wait, is that her? I think that's her. Annabelle? Yeah,
I'm so blind. I sometimes find myself wanting to hit fast forward and see if in 3 years I'm going to have found my people. But I'm also not really worried about that. And neither is Catherine, the vlogger in Seattle.
Like, I'm very aware of the fact that I know when I look back at this time in like 3 or 4 years, it's gonna be reminiscent of like a freshman period in my life. In that when I was a freshman, I was making all of these friendships through like orientation and my dorm and just random people I meet at the dining hall. There was a sense of like desperation of just like trying to like just latch on and like become attached in any way you possibly can.
We go through these freshman periods with our friendships like this all the time, weighing what happened to the old and feeling insecure about the new.
Looking back at the end of college, I was like, it's laughable because all those friendships I only like sustained for like 6 weeks and those people just lost. Yeah. We lost touch with each other and it wasn't a big deal because we found where we were supposed to be.
So for now, when I wake up feeling a little stranded, I'll just go find someone to be stranded with. Like Annabelle, who I met for the first time after only knowing a few basic facts about each other. We both liked restorative yoga and reggaeton, and we both desperately needed a new friend.
Oh my God, dude.
We need like a lot of props. So I'm going to get you four blankets.
Four blankets?
Yeah, that's a lot of blankets.
Wow, yeah. Are we going to bed?
Yeah.
Mm.
The Cut podcast is made by me, B.A. Parker, and Jasmine Aguilera. Edited by Jolie Myers. Mixed by Alex Higgins. Our executive producers are Hannah Rosen and Nishat Kurwa. The Cut podcast is made possible by the team at New York Magazine. Subscribe today to support all their work at thecut.com/subscribe. I'm Noor Bouzidi. Thanks for listening.